This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
And I'll tell you what, if you'll be faithful in small things, come on, God will make you ruler over great things. I want to say it again. If you will be faithful in small things, God will make you ruler over great things. You know, faithfulness is on the endangered character list. I don't know if you realize it or not, but we're in serious trouble in our society today because the things that we should be displaying the most seem to be disappearing more and more and more all the time. We're just on a steady decline. And I can tell you, if anybody is going to model good character to the world, it's going to have to be the believers. Because you're not, the only place we can even hope to be taught that anymore is from the Word of God. And it's something we need to do a lot of teaching on in our churches. I remember when God first started putting this ministry on my heart. And it's very interesting to me. I probably didn't realize at the time what an important thing God was putting in my heart, but this is what I felt like God spoke in my heart. There's three things I'm going to ask you to do, and if you do them, your ministry will be blessed. Now remember, this has been like 42 years ago. And here's what he said to me. Whatever you do, do it with excellence. Be a person of integrity and keep the strife out of your life and out of your ministry. Those three things. And just to quickly tell you what that means to me, excellence is not perfection. It just simply means that whatever you have to work with, you do the best you can with it. In other words, you might have an old automobile and you'd love to have a new one, but you know what? Until God gives you that new one, you should keep the one you've got clean. And you know, a lot of people think, well, this ain't going to do me any good. I got some real problems, lady. Talk to me about my problems. But see, the things that I'm talking about today, they go back to root character issues. And no matter what else we think we need or want, if we don't have really strong, godly character, we're never going to be able to maintain the rest of it. And so we need to start with some of the stuff that is really important. And the Bible says you will know them by their fruit. You will know them by their fruit. A good tree doesn't give bad fruit. It gives good fruit. And to be honest with you, I think that people, if you're a Christian, I think people should recognize after being around you for a short period of time that there's something different about you without you having to even tell them that you're a believer. I tell you, with somebody, by the time somebody's been around you a half an hour, they should be suspicious that you must be one of those Christians. And you know, one of the things that has hurt the reputation of Christianity so much is just the way a lot of Christians behave. Now, you know, obviously not everybody that's a Christian misbehaves. There's wonderful people with many godly virtues and godly attitudes. But if you're a Christian and you're going to do something, do it right. Don't do it halfway or sloppy or mediocre. And yes, I think things like keeping your car clean are important. I think it's important not to have a bumper sticker on your car and break the speed limit going down the highway. If you're not handicapped, I don't think you should park in a handicapped parking space. Amen. And especially don't do it at church. Come on, I'm just going to be mama this afternoon, okay? Because here's the thing that concerns me. We now probably have at least two generations of people that grew up without seeing any of this or hearing any of it. And I won't tell you who it is, because if I did, you'd know his name right away. The very well-known minister was at one of my conferences about 2 years ago. And in that conference, I did a message on excellence. And I talked about some of the things that I talk about, like putting your grocery cart back where it's supposed to go and, you know, things like that. And this man, in all sincerity, came to me when the teaching was over. Now, keep in mind, this is a guy that's in seminars all the time, has been preaching several years, very popular. And he said, "I have never heard anything like that in my life." He said, "That was amazing." And I just couldn't believe it. That here's this person that's standing up in front of all these people and doesn't even know that it's important that he put his shopping cart back where it belongs. Now, I'm sorry if this is too simple for you, but doesn't that kind of come under the golden rule thing? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Amen. And I'm not going to teach all this stuff on excellence today, but to be excellent means that you go the extra mile. That you don't just stop at mediocre, but you go beyond that. It means that you don't get to work late every day and take an hour and 10 minutes for lunch instead of an hour for lunch. It means that you don't play around on your computer doing your own personal stuff when nobody's looking, and when the boss walks in the room, you pretend like you're working. But you got your fish on your bumper. So long as we've got our fish, we're okay. We're Christians. Is anybody awake out there? And I don't know why, but from the time God called me to do this, He really took a lot of time dealing with me personally about things like this. That it's important to keep your word, to do what you tell people that you're going to do. Amen? I was just thinking about something this morning that I would have rather not thought of. Sometimes God reminds me of things I wish that I'm trying to forget, and I wish He'd forget it too. But even things like this. I was going for physical therapy for my back, and I had several sessions with the lady, and I was getting good, and she was actually going to have a surgery herself, and so we agreed that I wouldn't come back for about 6 weeks, and then I would come back and check in with her. Well, I'm doing good now, and so I just don't want to go back. And to be honest, I don't know, she probably don't care if I come back or not, but God reminded me that I told her that I would come back and check in with her. And I believe, and you may think that I'm as goofy as the day is long, but I believe that if I don't do the things that I say that I'm going to do, especially after God reminding me, if I still didn't do it, now I believe that that could adversely affect the anointing on my life. You say, "Well, what's that got to do with the anointing?" Well, I don't believe God anoints dishonesty. Are you with me? And see, here's the thing. Even if I'm not going to go back and see her, I need to place a phone call and let her know that I'll come in if she wants me to, but I'm really doing good and I don't feel any need to. But the last thing I should do is just not do what I said I would do and ignore the whole thing. And boy, is the world full of that today. Oh my gosh. Doesn't it just make you want to pull your hair out when you take off work to meet a repairman and he doesn't show up and doesn't even call, and you have to try to call the company again and they say, oh, we just got busy. So rude. Do whatever you do with excellence. So how many of you got that part? See? And here's the thing, and this is, of all the things I say today, this is going to be the most important. Do it especially when nobody's looking. Because who you are when nobody's looking is who you really are. Come on. Who you are when nobody's looking is who you really are. What we do to impress other people doesn't say that much about us. It's what we do when nobody's looking, because we realize that God is always looking. And after all, he's the one that we should be pleasing. Our reward comes from him. It doesn't come from other people watching us. And I'll tell you what, if you'll be faithful in small things, come on, God will make you ruler over great things. I want to say it again. If you will be faithful in small things, God will make you ruler over great things. Be a person of integrity, the Lord said. What does that mean? Do what you say you're going to do. Be honest. You know, and we just do a lot of loose talking. I'll call you in a couple of weeks and we'll go out to lunch. And you no more intend to call them and go out to lunch. You're not even really paying any attention to what you're saying. You're just filling up airspace. Amen. I remember I was preaching in Florida one time at a church, and we liked the couple who pastored the church, and we'd been there a few times, and I said to them, why don't you guys come to St. Louis sometime, and we can hang out, and we'll take you to see the arch, and blah, 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 blah. Spend several days together. Well, lo and behold, a couple of weeks went by, and they called and said, well, we're ready to come. And I thought, where are you going? I didn't want them to come to my house. When I invited them, it never occurred to me they'd come. Come on, are you there? And boy, when they called, it was not a good time. Not that it ever would have been, but it was not a good time. And I said to God, oh, God, what am I going to do? And I knew right away. He said, this is what you're going to do. You're going to bring them to St. Louis. If you don't want to keep them in your house, put them in a nice hotel and pay for it. You're going to spend 3 days with them. And you're going to learn. Come on. You're going to learn to stop saying things that you don't really mean. You know what? My parents, I guess they did the best they knew how to, but they just really weren't very good parents. Not only was my dad abusive, but my mother put up with him and thought she was being faithful, and what she had wasn't faithfulness. It was just ridiculous, you know, because she ended up ruining her life. And thankfully, because of the grace of God, not mine, but my brother's life was ruined. And you never help somebody when you let them abuse and mistreat you and think you're being faithful in a relationship. That's not faithfulness. But I don't ever remember my parents sitting with me and teaching me any life principles like this. You don't learn this stuff in school. You learn a bunch of stuff you're never going to use once you get out of there. But you can get out and not know how to keep a balanced checkbook or how to tell the truth. Or nobody tells you the things that really are going to make a difference, because they're not interested in telling you the things that God wants you to know. And so many of you are probably just like I was. If you learn it at all, you're going to have to learn it from God. Amen. And the whole goal that we should have is, yes, to love Jesus, to receive him, but also to become like him, to be Christ-like, and to get out in the world and let people know this is what Jesus is like. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And we need to be able to, at least in some way, say, if you've seen me, you've seen a little bit of Jesus. And I'm going to tell you something. We do not have the privilege to act like the world. God's word says, come ye out from among them and be separate. Now, that doesn't mean to act like we think we're better than everybody else, or that we won't have anything to do with sinners. You can't help people if you hide from them all the time. But there is a message there that you cannot follow God and be like the world. I know I may be messing with some of your lives a little bit right now, but you'll be glad eventually. This is one of those ouch, hallelujah sessions. While you're in here, it's ouch, and later you'll say, hallelujah, man, I'm glad I learned that. Amen? And then the whole thing about strife. So many households are full of strife. Some people don't even know what that is. Do you know, we've had people ask us, what is integrity? We could take a camera and go do a man on the street interview and just ask, what do you think integrity is? And a lot of people aren't even going to know. That's how much we've slid in society today. And you know, there was a time when a person's word was their bond. I mean, you didn't need a 15-page contract. It's amazing what all you got to sign today just to get your teeth cleaned. I mean, I went for physical therapy. I mean, I'm getting physical therapy on my feet, you know, getting to the point where this hurts and then that hurts and something else hurts. And one of the questions was, how many people were in your father's family? And I thought, what does that have to do with getting physical therapy on my feet? And then I had to sign and initial my name in probably 12 places. And I know exactly what I was signing. If you kill me while I'm doing this physical therapy, it's not your fault. Nobody today wants to be accountable for anything. Amen. I want to just act however I want to act, but it's not my fault. If we had a situation recently where we have an electric gate that goes into a little courtyard at our house where the garages are, and it had needed some repairs, and so we had it repaired, spent, I don't know, several hundred dollars getting it repaired. And when they hooked it up, they must have made some kind of mistake, because when Dave drove through it, it opened up, but it closed on his car. And so he had to go ahead and get through the gate, so it left a big scratch mark on the side of his car. Well, several hundred dollars to fix that scratch. Now, you know, we could have called the company and said, you know, you need to take care of this, but there's no way that they would have taken care of it. It would have not been their fault that the gate they just fixed, they hooked up wrong and it. But I remember a day when there was integrity in the world, and if that would have happened, you would have called the company and they just said, oh man, we're sorry, we'll take care of that car. And these things that are slipping away from us, believe it or not, that's a large part of what's wrong in the world today. We think, oh, these little things don't matter, but it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. And I can tell you right now, if you want to have some big blessings poured into your life, you go home from here and you make a commitment to God to start really paying attention to the little things in your life. And I can tell you, you will get some big changes. Are you hearing me? Amen. Faithfulness. A faithful person is somebody that finishes what they start, keep their word. They don't quit when the excitement or the newness of something wears off. Now I have to sit down just a minute and talk to you about that first for a second. Because I cannot even imagine how many people miss an amazing plan that God has for their life. Because when it's no longer exciting, they want to go find something else that is exciting. Happens in marriages. I've been married 52 years, not because I get goosebumps every time Dave walks in the house. Come on, are you there? You think when all those gooey feelings are not there that that means you don't love the person anymore. That's not love. That's a goosebump. That comes from a physical attraction. But love is a lot more than just a physical attraction. First of all, I didn't even know what love was when I told Dave I would marry him. I had been so mistreated in my life and had already been through one bad marriage where he was unfaithful. And after 18 years with my dad and then 5 years with another guy that was about half crazy, I didn't know what love was. I didn't know how to give it. I didn't know how to receive it. But after 52 years, I know what love is. Amen. Stop switching what you're going to do every few days because what you started to do isn't exciting anymore. Anything new is exciting. Everybody claps and cheers when you start something new. But I wonder how many people miss their destiny because they never finished what they started, because when it gets hard or it's not exciting anymore or nobody's around clapping and cheering and it's just left to you and God alone, you know, it's easy to sit here and listen to me. I'm doing all the work. Man, you're having a good time. You didn't have to pay to come. We got a beautiful building here, great music, nice teaching. Your work starts when you leave and you go home. And then what are you going to do with it? Are you just going to file it away in one of your messages you've heard in your life and you bought two books and you'll stick them on the shelf and never read them? But I went to the Joyce Meyer conference. Are you going to maybe at least, surely, out of 3 hours of preaching, you could pick out just three things or maybe even two? I'd even take one. that you could go home and stick with that thing with God until you get a breakthrough in that area. Amen. And so, whatever God gives you to do, stick with it all the way through to the finish. And start with little things, like even little jobs you start at home. Now go ahead, just start squirming in your seat. Oh, I started cleaning out that closet 3 years ago. I'm just a little tired, so I think I'm just going to relax here and just... Come on. You know, no, who's excited about cleaning out the closet or the basement? Nobody is, but you know what? You can finish any project. Now listen to me. If you'll just, you take that closet and say, I'm going to conquer you. Why do you think that you're going to have authority over the devil if you don't even have authority over a sink full of dirty dishes? I mean, who do we think we're kidding? But if you say, I am going to commit to spending 15 minutes a day getting this closet cleaned up, you know what? Even if it takes 2 weeks, you're going to feel good because you're making progress. You're going to feel good because you've accomplished something. Now every time you walk in there, you don't feel overwhelmed because there's a mess. And you don't feel guilty because you know that you should take care of it. Instead of feeling guilty about all the things you know you should be doing, why not just starting today to do them? Oh, I'm helping you. You could pay big money getting counseling for this. Okay, so start with the little things, things that are just between you and God. Now, you know, I've been doing what I'm doing for 42 years, and now, just hang on a minute. People say to me all the time, well, what's next? What's your dream now? What's your vision? What do you want to do that you've never done? And oh, maybe about 6-7 years ago, I got to the point where I couldn't think of anything. And I thought, I just want to teach the word and help people. I mean, any way that I can help people, if they're hungry, I want to feed them. If they're lonely, I want to try to make them feel better. I want to cheer them up with the word. I just want to help people. Yeah, I know, but what's your vision? After I heard that a few times, I started thinking, well, maybe I'm losing my edge. Maybe, I don't know, maybe I'm just getting old and getting tired and, you know, now just hang on, just wait. And, you know, it kind of started to kind of bother me. And so, you know, I took it to God and I said, okay, is there something wrong? You know, am I not hearing from you? Are you trying to tell me something and I'm not listening? And you know what God said to me? And it set me free. He said, you know what you're doing now? You're being faithful. Now, please don't take this wrong, because I don't mean it wrong, but I don't do this anymore because it excites me. This is not my first Joyce Meyer conference. Ha ha ha! You know, I'd do a session, then I got to go in the back room and do stretches. Did I not do stretches at the break? I had to go do stretches. You know, come on, I've been at this a while, and I'm in good shape. I work out, and I'm in good shape, but anything that you have been doing 42 years is not new to you anymore. And I don't do this. Now, I love what I'm doing because I love helping people with God's word. But I am not doing this for me. I'm doing it because I believe it's what God wants me to do and because I believe it helps people. And I will do it. I give you my word that I will do it as long as I can stand up and breathe. I will do it because it is very important to me that I finish what God has given me to do. And I want to pass that off on you today. I want somebody here, maybe if you just are starting to feel in your heart that God wants to use you in teaching or in music or in business or whatever, go ahead and keep that dream stirred up. And when it gets hard, stick with it. And when you get tired of it, stick with it. And when you feel like nothing is happening, stick with it. And when the devil tries to tell you you're crazy, stick with it. And when everybody else doesn't want to mess with it anymore, stick with it. Amen? Because I'll tell you what, you never get to where God wants you to be if you can't make it through the hard times and the silent years and the times when you feel like nothing is happening in your life. And there's going to be lonely times, and there's going to be times when you think God's asleep and doesn't even know where you're at. Come on, are you awake out there? If it's a change you need in you or a change you need to see in some of your loved ones, don't give up. Don't quit and give up. We don't have the Spirit of God in us to be quitters. And I love what Paul said. Paul said in Acts 20, 24, "None of these things move me." And he was talking about all the trials and tribulations. "None of these things move me, neither do I count my life dear to myself. My one desire is that I might finish my course with joy." And I want to finish what God's given me to do, and I want to be happy the whole time I'm doing it. But joy is a totally different thing than excitement. Don't go get another person to be married to because the one you've got now doesn't excite you anymore, because the next one you get, you'll get to that point too. Don't think you got to change churches every time you don't feel like you're entertained every time you walk in the building. I'll tell you what, when you start going to church and you feel like you're getting nothing out of it, stop going to get something out of it and go to give. I think I'm going to say that again. When you start going, you think, "Well, I'm not getting anything out of this anymore." I'll tell you a story real quick that a girl told me. She came to my conferences for years and years and years, and she said, "Joyce, I got to the point where I just wasn't getting anything out of them anymore." And she said, "I started praying for you because I thought you'd lost your anointing." She said, "I thought maybe you had sin in your life and whatever, you know." It's amazing how many people, when they're not getting anything out of something anymore, they're sure it's something wrong with the place. And so she said, "God said to me, well, you're not getting anything out of it because you're so full, there's no place to put anything else. You've been sitting in those meetings for years. Now you need to go with a different attitude, and that is to give something to somebody And when you start giving out some of what you've got, then I'll have room to pour more in. Come on. I don't care if it's even a little bitty, teeny tiny thing. I would love to have you make a commitment as part of this new excellent lifestyle you're going to have to do something, no matter how small it is, do something for somebody else every day of your life. Amen. Come on, don't make me come out there. What I'm saying is so exciting. I'm surprised somebody's not jumping up and down. Do you realize how happy you would get if you'd get yourself off your mind for 10 minutes? I mean it. Pastor Tommy, this could have been you that told this story. So if it was, let me know, because that makes it even better. But told a story about a lady who wanted counseling, and she had thought she had all these big problems, and she wanted to come in for counseling, and I don't remember if it was you or somebody else. It was you. And I'll probably mess this up, but I'll get it good enough. And you couldn't see her for a few weeks or something. And so in the meantime, she was real good at baking something, wasn't it? Cookies or brownies or something. Cookies. And so you told her to bake cookies for people until you had time to see her. And so she never came back for counseling. And when he saw her and he asked her why she never called for the appointment, she said, "Oh, you know what? When I got busy helping other people, I just forgot all about my problems." I tell you what, no matter how big your problem is, and I'm not trying to make light of problems, like I said last night, I know there's people here that are hurting really, really bad. But I love Psalm 37, 1, 2, and 3. It says, "Fret not yourself over evildoers, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass." Listen to this. "Trust God and do good." And you shall be fed in the land. It's very simple. What do we do when we have a problem? If we can do something about it, do it. If not, you pray about it, you trust God, but in the meantime, while you're waiting on God, you do good. You sow seed for your harvest by helping somebody else. Hello? Well, I got a bunch of notes up here, but I don't seem to be needing them. But God is faithful, and it's one of the things that we love about Him the most. How many people do you know that you can trust to keep a secret? How many people do you know that if you really need to tell somebody something, but it's very important that nobody else knows, how many people do you know? I'm blessed. I know about five people like that. Amen. Some people don't know any. Be faithful. Be a faithful friend. Amen. Don't just be in a relationship for what you get out of it. You know, I made a decision about 10 years ago. I got fed up with one-sided relationships. Yes. And I won't have them anymore. I'm talking about personal relationships. I am not going to have personal relationships where I do all the giving and somebody else does all the taking. You know why? I don't think that's healthy. I don't think you're helping the other person when you do that. You're not even making people show you respect when you do that. Be excellent. Be a person of integrity. Keep the strife out of your life. Stop getting mad about every little thing that doesn't go right. Amen. 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 A house full of sacrifices with strife is an abomination to the Lord. I remember when Dave and I would come to church and fight all the way to church. Get to the parking lot. They had people out in the parking lot helping people park their cars and greeters at the doors. And we'd fight all the way to the church. But the first Christian we saw, well, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You know, you can sing the songs on the overhead and not even know what you're saying. I remember standing, I was in the front row because I was in leadership, and I had a seat with my name on it. Nobody sat in my seat. I was a church pillar. And I can remember singing the songs on the overhead and thinking, if he thinks I'm cooking him anything to eat today, he's got another thing coming. Because I know what he's going to do. He's going to go home and watch another football game like he does every Sunday, and I'm going to do all the work. I surrender all. Come on, let's get real. Let's quit playing games and start becoming Christ-like. I'll tell you a good prayer to pray. God, tie me to the altar and do whatever you have to do to me to get me to act like a Christian, but please don't let me act stupid anymore. Oh, this is so exciting. My gosh, I'm so excited with my message. All right. One little last bit here, I guess, and then I'll have to go home. Faithful men and women stay under God's mighty hand. And they wait until God promotes them. They don't promote themselves. And when they are promoted, they step into that place with fear and trembling, not with a haughty attitude.
Well, you definitely do not want to go away, because Joyce will be back in just a few minutes to answer one of your questions. And remember, you can get answers to questions anytime on our website, joycemeyer.org/EA. And there's a lot of great material for you on there. Before we get to the question of the day, let's recap what Joyce taught us. The test of faithfulness can be a challenging one to pass, especially when life is difficult or even boring. But I love Joyce's encouragement. If you rely on God and stick with it, you will be blessed. He is faithful, and He helps us to be faithful too. So there are a lot of practical encouragements in Scripture, in the Word of God. So that's what we want to give you today. The more you spend time with Him, the more you spend time in His Word, the easier many of these things become. It doesn't mean that life is always easy, but it means that you have someone to walk through it with you. And there are well more than this, but we have a little book that's called 40 Things the Word of God Does for You. It's a booklet that you can get as a physical booklet or as a digital download. And it will encourage you to get into God's Word, because it really describes all of the amazing benefits in God's Word. And it's great to develop your faithfulness and to remind you about God's. Like I said, it's absolutely free. So what do you have to lose? Go to our website, contact us today, and get that free booklet and start digging into God's Word.
Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Joyce wants to help you apply that Bible verse to your life with her booklet, 40 Things the Word of God Does for You. Inside, you'll find practical tips for receiving God's direction, finding hope, and resting in God's protection. In all, Joyce shares 40 ways the Bible can completely transform your life. Also available as a download, this resource is free upon request. Simply order online at joycemeyer.org or call us 1-800-727-9673.
We have a great question on video for any parent who's had their heart broken. I think a lot of parents will relate to this, so let's take a look.
Hi, Joyce. My question is, my husband and I have raised our children. We've raised them to be Christians, faithful to the body of Christ. Now that they have left our homes, they have made other decisions to go other ways. My question to you is, how do we hold on to the hope of them returning back to the body of Christ?
Well, the scripture that says, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they will not depart from it, certainly comes into play here, and it needs to be something that they hold on to. This is not uncommon to happen with children. I think many times a child has to come to a point where they really need to find out for themselves if they have faith or if it's just a secondhand faith that's been handed down to them because that's what their parents believe.
Right.
I remember, more than one of my children actually coming to kind of a crisis point. I can't say they ever walked away from God, but just saying, you know, do I believe this because I believe this, or do I believe this because you believe it, and that's what you've always taught me to believe? So I think just believing that God's going to take this situation and work good out of it, and that in the end, they will come out of it with a stronger faith rather than a weaker faith.
We hope you have enjoyed today's program. Please contact us or visit joycemeyer.org to share your prayer request, see the conference schedule, or partner with us in sharing Christ and loving people all across the globe. This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.